Welcome to the Talking Shop podcast, where I'm here to share stories, lessons, and experiences in sports performance and professional development. This episode, long time in the making, with Coach Tessa Grossman. How are you doing today? And tell me something good that's going on in your life.
I'm doing well, and the Middle Tennessee football team is going to a bowl game, so that's a great way to end the season for us.
Fantastic. So Tessa has been putting on for female strength coaches since 2018. And having stopped along the way playing softball at Dartmouth, spending time in the weight room there as a coach, the LA Rams, Cal Berkeley, the Cincinnati Bengals, Illinois State, Atlanta Falcons, and now as the assistant associate director, all the words, at Middle Tennessee State, working her way up there, but on her way back to the NFL eventually. And she's been asked to speak on all these experiences at multiple places. So she's just killing it on fire. So I'm excited to dive into her stories and experiences and what has made her journey her journey. But first, I want to do something a little different. These questions I've only done on a few episodes so far, but I think the whole nature versus nurture thing is super interesting and basically people's childhood and just experiences like that. So if we could start kind of like, what were your parents like? Because I think parents play a huge role in kind of who we are, good, bad, or the other. So what was like your childhood and parents like? We'll start with the light stuff.
Yeah, light is the first question. No, my parents were amazing. I really credit my parents with like a lot of like who I am today. I feel like first and foremost, like they've always given me the freedom to like pursue any career or like any interest I've had, which I think is like, it's not something everyone always has like the privilege to get. And I think especially like in a career like strength and conditioning where you do like have to work a lot of unpaid internships to kind of like make your way in the field. Like they always were willing to support me. I mean, there was multiple times like they would help me pay rent when I was making no money, especially in places that were way more expensive than I could afford. So like I recognize that was like a huge privilege. And they're definitely a huge reason that I've gotten as far in my career as early as I have, because I would not be here or wouldn't have been able to like pursue the opportunity that was presented without them. But more on like, I guess like a lessons and like traits level, I feel like my parents, there's like three like main things that they really taught me. The first kind of came from my dad, which was teaching me how to like take ownership. I remember being like 10 years old. And I used to pitch in softball when I was younger. And I remember being like 10 and I had like a horrible game. I walked like three or four girls. Like, I think we lost. I just remember being in the parking lot. And my dad was like, and I was like trying to blame other things about why I didn't play well. And he just is like, no, like you didn't pitch well. You have to own that. You have to own up to that to the team and move on with your life. And I was like 10. And I don't know why, but that just like stuck with me. And so like that idea of ownership has, I feel like, really been carried with me through life. The other one would be my mom. My mom taught me like how to stand up for myself. But like, I remember like once again, when I was younger, like we would argue back and forth and she would like get angry at me if I like didn't like argue my point back. And I hated arguing. Like I hated like standing my ground. Like I'd always just be like, okay, whatever, like you win. And so finally, like one day I just kind of snapped, but I was like, okay, I'm doing it. And I stood my ground. And then she argued back at me. And I was like, whoa. I thought like, if I argued back, then
I'm supposed to win now.
But she was like, the whole point was like, no, like that doesn't mean that you're always going to be right. Or always going to win. But I just want you to understand like how to stand up for yourself and like how to, you know, be there for you when you're like going through this world. So I feel like those two big lessons really have carried me through my career a lot.
For sure. You totally knocked that answer out of the park and you got into my next one. It's almost like I sent you the questions earlier. it's crazy. Those like singular or not singular, but those specific moments and instances and stories of stuff like that. And I think it's super interesting, like how those things actually do impact us kind of more than someone might give credit to on kind of first thought. Cause your boy might or might not have been the Boy Scouts top popcorn seller 2 years in a row. So, you know, it's fine. But just like that entrepreneurial spirit of my parents are like, no, go for it. Like, if you want to win, you want to do this, it's this. And then, but yeah, those two stories of like the softball and then the arguing and stuff, like it's wild how a simple kind of moment can like have such a big impact. But I guess kind of last kind of follow-up question. So as you were getting into to SNC, like right away, was it heck yeah, go chase your dreams? Or was it like, oh, do you want to try this? Or like, I know that parents might try to guide their kids certain ways and careers or majors or whatever it may be. So being a unique field in and of itself, kind of like, how was that when you were like, I want to be a strength coach?
Yeah, honestly, I feel like my parents like never really pushed back. My mom, she like is a massage therapist and she's a yoga instructor, and she's like, she has many avenues that she's gone down for her career and like skills that she's acquired and still like uses in her career like nowadays. So I feel like because my mom was so adventurous with her career path, I feel like it kind of opened her eyes, or I would assume it kind of opened her eyes to like why you can be like more open with it. So I guess like they never were like, no, don't be a strength coach. Cause I think like it wasn't a possibility in their heads either. So I think like we were all just kind of along for the ride together. Like we all kind of were just like, okay, let's see where this goes. Obviously too, I think like my academic background, like it did, like, let's just say this hadn't gone well. It did give me something to fall back on. Like I still was going to have an Ivy League degree at the end of the day. So if I got done with college and I was like, you know what, I just don't think I'm made to be a strength coach, I don't think this is for me, like I still have a prestigious academic degree that I could figure out how to go use. So I think that definitely like was nice to have in the back pocket while I was like trying to pursue this career path.
A long ways away from California all the way to New Hampshire.
Yep.
So next, kind of getting more specific into your background, so that kind of sets the stage. Awesome parents, supportive parents, taught you those foundational things with those super cool kind of little stories. But next, more specifically to your career, what was that biggest kind of fork in the road moment where, looking back, if something had played out a different way, or if you had turned right instead of left, this would all be different right now?
Yeah, I think there's like two big choices I made my senior year of high school that kind of go hand in hand. The first was when I was like choosing where to go play softball at. I basically was choosing between two offers. I was choosing between a school that basically offered exercise science as a major, and then I was choosing between Dartmouth, which doesn't offer any sort of like exercise major or anything of that nature. Very old school. But Dartmouth was my dream school. It had been my dream school since eighth grade. So it's kind of like, do I pick what was my dream school, or do I pick what would probably support my career more? And at that point, I wasn't like, the other school was Whitworth College. It's out in Washington. And I still like believe I would have been fully happy. And I still think things would have worked out regardless which route. I just think the route would have looked different. But at that point, I wasn't like 100% sold on being a strength coach. I just knew I wanted to go into exercise science. So like, I was basically choosing to go to the major that I thought I wanted to do or go to my dream school. And I chose to go to Dartmouth, and I was like, I'll just figure it out once I get there. Like, I can't pass up on this. How many people get an opportunity to go play for their dream school? And then I think like the second second event that happened was my senior year of high school, I made the choice to not play my senior year of high school softball. And so that was when I was like, okay, what can I do instead of playing this? I just didn't feel like the environment was healthy. I had tried for quite a few years to kind of make the best out of what I felt was like a toxic team environment. And eventually I decided, you know what, this isn't worth my time. Like, I'm setting my eyes onto bigger and better things. Like, I'm setting my eyes towards like starting my college career off successfully. How can I like better myself for that upcoming experience? So I ended up going and training at a private facility 4 days a week instead of playing like my last year of high school softball. And that was what like snapped into like, okay, this is what I want to do. Like, I didn't even really realize how much of like being a strength coach was like a career possibility until I started training. And I was like, I love this. I want to do this all the time. And they were like, well, you could make this a career. So those two things kind of together, like, I think those two things set me on like a very direct path right away in college. And if I wouldn't have had those events, I think it might have taken me longer to like get started in the field.
For sure. It's funny. I think the episode before you or two before you, Matt Caskey, who's trained at Tisa Boost for like 10 plus years, he actually had the same thing where he played football at Dartmouth. And he was like, well, I probably can't get into Dartmouth anyways, so might as well cash in. So like, I could get an Ivy League degree. Like, why would I not cash in on that? So funny how it was pretty similar. But what was it like telling those college coaches that you weren't playing your senior year? That's probably not the most conducive to being recruited.
So I guess with softball, it's not as big of a deal as like with football or something like that. With softball, you get recruited through like your club or travel teams. So like, they didn't really care, because like for most schools, the high school softball like timeline is the same as the college softball season. So they're dark. They can't recruit us during high school softball. So basically, high school softball is supposed to be fun. You're supposed to just go play for your school. It's not supposed to be about like you're like trying to get a college coach to recognize you. So yeah, I definitely was like nervous to call my college coach and be like, hey, like I know I'm coming to play softball for you for the next 4 years, but I'm not playing this year. But honestly, she took it well. She was just like, why are you leaving? I was like, I just don't think it's a very healthy environment. I'm not happy in the environment and I want to do something else for this 2 months. And she goes, were you a part of the drama? And I was like, no. And she goes, all right, sounds good. Like,
dang.
Get the training and we'll see you in, we'll see you in July, August. So she took it well.
So then what was your major at Dartmouth, and what was that like navigating the academics of becoming a strength coach without an exercise science degree?
So when I got to Dartmouth, for like the hottest of seconds, I thought about doing biology, because I felt like that was like the closest thing. But then it turned out that biology was like one of the hardest degrees you can do there. And I like looked at the list of like all the classes and I saw like organic chemistry and I was like, I'm out. That's a no for me. Nope. That's too much. Like, I'm smart, but not like Ivy League organic chemistry smart. So I tried psychology for a while, liked it, didn't love it. And so I ended up actually choosing sociology. So I graduated with my degree in sociology. And navigating it, I basically kind of went into it knowing like I feel like when I went into college, it was not as usual for strength coaches to not have an exercise science degree. I feel like you're starting to see it like more and more nowadays. It's actually, I feel like, almost encouraged sometimes to have like a different background. But at that time, I just decided like, I'm gonna like work my ass off. Like, I don't have this degree. I know this is gonna be a question. And it was a question I got a lot through my first couple like internships and opportunities. Like, why, like, how do you make up for not having an exercise science degree? And I decided that I was gonna work my butt off. So I started doing internships after my freshman year of college. And basically like any time I had like a break that was long enough to do an internship in, I would find something to do. So like that way, by the time I graduated and was looking into graduate assistant positions, I had already completed, I think, 4 or 5 different internships by the time I was 21, 22. So that way I didn't want them to be able to dispute my lack of like academic credibility, because my experience was too good, was the point.
For sure. Did you get your CSCS before they made it required?
Yes, I did.
So next, I don't know if this is part of the next question or two, but I'm excited to learn more about the Bill Walsh Fellowship and kind of how that works and your unique experience with multiple kind of NFL teams as a big part of what drives you is trying to make it back there. So if we could kind of dive into some of those experiences.
Yeah. Do you want me to talk about like all three or...
Give me the cliff notes of each, and then this fellowship thing.
Okay, so I guess first and foremost, the Rams. I was with the Los Angeles Rams in season in 2018, 2019. I was basically there September through December, and then I had to go back to school. Dartmouth does a thing where they basically give you an opportunity to have an off semester during the school year to go work internships or work jobs that you probably wouldn't have a chance to otherwise. The whole goal is to like basically build your portfolio. Build your resume so that when you get out, you're more able to get a job. That's like their whole thing, is they want you to literally start working the second you graduate from a school like that. So that was not a fellowship. That was just like connections that I had made through Dartmouth and me doing a good job and them being willing to give me that opportunity. So I got to be with them their first Super Bowl year. I had no idea what was going on. I was 20 years old. I was way in over my head, but it was one of the best experiences ever. I feel like that really jump-started, obviously, like, my career from there. But the next time I was with an NFL team was in 2021, that summer. So I originally wanted to apply for the Bill Walsh Fellowship back in 2020, but obviously COVID hit. So when COVID hit, that kind of stopped everything in its tracks. So I was like dead set on applying for it in 2021. The application process is pretty, it can be pretty intense, especially if you're like very serious about applying. There's usually over about 1,000 applicants that go into the pool. And teams don't have to take fellowships. It's kind of up to them to choose like if they want to take any and then how many. And then they also can choose what department. So like a lot of them don't even take strength and conditioning. A lot of them are looking more, I feel like, for the coaching. Doesn't mean that they don't want strength and conditioning. It's just like that's what's applying. So you have to basically put your resume in. You have to do a, what's it, 3 references and then 3 reference letters. Those are like optional, but they're not optional.
Yeah, like you know optional what I mean? Practice. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you have to write a personal statement. And that's kind of up to you how long you want that to be, which is kind of tough because you're just, you don't know what these teams are looking for. And then the last part is a video, or at least like when I did it, you had to put a 2-minute video in there, whether it was of talking about why you fit the idea of being like a diversity fellow, or, you know, videos of you coaching, just kind of like something to add to your application. From there, you can choose which teams it gets sent to directly. So what I did was I researched basically all of the teams and figured out like what were my top like strength and conditioning staffs that I felt like I had the most connection with and could learn the most from. But really, you should send all of your application, you should send your application to every team, because every team doesn't know that you're sending it to them individually or like how many other teams you sent it to. So why would you not send it to every single team? Because if you don't, it just basically goes into a large pool that they can look from. And it's hard to get noticed. And sending in your application usually just isn't enough. So I actually reached out to, I was in the NFL Women's Forum back in 2019 after I was with the Rams. So I reached out to Vanessa Hutchins, who's one of the women who helps run that. And she's been like a huge driver and a huge part of the initiative to get women into the NFL. And I asked her, like, what else can I be doing to like get their attention? And she was like, what are your top 5 teams that you're looking at? So she had me send her those top 5 teams. And she sent me back basically 5 contacts. And she said, here's 5 contacts. Wow. She was like, email them with all your application stuff. And so that's what I did. I like cold emailed these NFL contacts, basically just being like, hey, please look, like, give me a chance, look at my application. I remember like sitting in a Panera in Normal, Illinois, like trying to word these emails, figuring out how I can get these people's attention. And so the 2 teams that kind of took interest were the Atlanta Falcons and the Bengals. So I got the Falcons one first. The Falcons one was a 2-part interview. So the first part was just like a normal, like, you know, kind of get to know you interview. And then the second part was I had to actually teach them something over Zoom. And so I had to put together like a 10-minute PowerPoint. And I talked about like the power of like self-talk and basically how to restructure negative self-talk into like positive and constructive self-talk. And then after that, they kind of offered me the position. And then with the Bengals, that one was virtual. They still weren't allowed to have people in because of COVID. So I ended up getting those 2. The fact that I got 2 is like really like, that's yeah. Like sound, I guess, like uppity, but like it's really rare that you get 2 in the same year. So that was pretty amazing. So it felt like a dream, honestly, because I was like, when I put my application, I was like, whatever happens, happens. Like, I know it's super competitive. I know it's super hard to get anything. And then I got 2. So that was just like, wow. That was like amazing.
So the Bill Walsh Fellowship, that's for diversity, kind of getting, what's the premise kind of behind those?
Yeah, so the original premise of so it's called the Bill Walsh Diversity Fellowship. It opens every March. It's usually open the beginning of March to like the middle end of June for applications, but you want to apply early if you are going to apply. The earlier you apply, the better. But the original like idea behind it was to help get like African-American coaches into the league more, give them more opportunities, but then they eventually expanded it. So now it's like basically women and people of color. So it's just trying to create more opportunities for us to get internships and to get a foot in and make those connections where otherwise we might not have the chance to.
Cool. And then what was it like hitting send on those emails in that Panera? I bet you were like, read it over 3 times.
I was really nervous, but I don't know. I guess like my whole thought process behind like the whole application was just like, I literally have nothing to lose. Like, if I get something, then that's amazing. I've already gotten more than I thought I was going to get. If I don't, then like my life stays exactly the same. Like, I just keep working my graduate assistant job, keep plugging away, keep making connections, and try again next year. So I think for me, it was like a very low risk, high reward situation. But I feel like that's how I look at a lot of like the stuff I apply for. So yeah, I was just very like, whatever happens, happens.
And then whose idea was that? Was that like, was that just chatting with your parents? Was that chatting with like kind of colleagues or coworkers, or just your own brainchild of reaching out on the NFL forum who then gave you those contacts?
No. So it was actually, so back at Dartmouth, I feel like one of my mentors, not feel like he was one of my like big mentors there. His name is Dwayne Brooks, Coach Brooks. He's the defensive line coach at Dartmouth. And I feel like he kind of took me in as like a sophomore, and I would sit in his office countless days and we would talk about whatever. But he was the one who first kind of brought it to my attention back when I was like a junior in college, right after I had gotten out of the NFL forum. And he was like, hey, like, this is an opportunity to have. I think you should like think about applying to this. So that's kind of why I was like, okay, at that point it was too late in the year. So I was like, okay, 2020, my senior year, I'll apply. But then COVID happened and pushed it back another year. So it was really his idea. I would have never known about it if it wasn't for him.
It's crazy how like, I always say like some of the things that I do, whether it's like podcasts or talking to people or whatever it may be, it's like the idea is super creative, but like, it's actually just a super simple, you just got to take action. Like, it makes sense. And then you have that opportunity, then it's taking action. But such like a simple thing, and it turned into everything that you've done now. So crazy to kind of look back on that. So next, what is like the coolest / craziest story, like the story you always pull out of your back pocket when you talk about being a training coach?
I think probably one of the coolest things that's happened to me was, so when I was with the Rams, I didn't like travel with the team or anything. Like I said, like, I was 20 years old at the time. Like, when I started with the Rams, they basically were like, we're going to start you with 2 days a week and then work from there. You know, see how you do, which I think was very fair. But
you were off for the semester and only 2 days a week. What did you do all day?
Okay. Well, pause. Okay. Cause I was working 2 internships. So I worked at Mamba Sports Academy during the day. And then I worked with the Rams 2 days a week. And then like, as they trusted me more and I got more time added on the Rams, it started to even itself out. But I was working from like, basically like 5:30 in the morning. Like, I'd go to the Rams at like 5:30 in the morning. I'd stay there till probably about like 3 or 4, basically like post practice. And then I would go to Sports Academy and work from there from about 4 to 9. So I was putting in my hours. Don't you worry. come on, strength and conditioning coach internship, that does not exist. But one of the things they did is they were supposed to go play the Chiefs in Mexico that year. So they went to Colorado for spring training, because they are not spring training, for altitude training. And they took me with them for the week. Wow. So going there in itself, that was like probably one of the coolest things. But that was also during like the LA fires of that year. So they flew a lot of the families out. So the issue was on the way back, there wasn't enough seats for everyone on the charter flight back because of the families. And so my connection there, his name was Tony Pastor. He was the vice president of business. He was a former Dartmouth football player. So that's how I like kind of got connected to everything. Yeah. And he kind of like watched out for me during my time there. So he rode back on a private jet with Sean McVay and a couple other people. And so because I was his like person, I also got to ride back on that jet. So I was on a private jet with Sean McVay. I'm like 20 years old and I'm sitting in the back of this private jet, like, it's like me and a couple other like lower like communications people who just like got chosen randomly to like sit on this jet. And we're just all like, what the hell is happening right now? Like, Sean McVay is sitting up there and we're in the back, and we should not all be on the same plane. Cause they ended up canceling that game in Mexico. So we all had to fly back to LA and play in LA the next day. So that's probably like one of the craziest, like most out of body experiences I've had.
Yeah. Did you get to chat with him at all?
No, this is like the night before that game. And so I was like, he was very locked in. Like, you know, I was just like, I'm just happy to be here. Happy I'm getting back tonight. Like, thanks for putting me on this plane with you guys.
Who was one of the coolest players?
Oh, I feel like I was really impressed with the like Falcons players, because when I was there, like Calvin Ridley was there. Like I think, and Matt Ryan was still there. I remember Matt Ryan, he was the first player I met, and I didn't even like realize who he was at first, because he was just like so, just like, I don't want to say like normal, but like normal. Like he just introduced himself to me, like, "Hi, I'm Matt." Like I was like, "Oh, hi, nice to meet you." And then he walked away, and I was like, "Oh my God, that was Matt Ryan." Like
yeah.
It didn't like click. And I kind of had the same experience with Calvin Ridley. Like he introduced himself, and I was like, "Oh my," he said Calvin. I was like, "Oh my God, that's Calvin Ridley." Okay,
I know who you are.
Yes, but they're just like super down to earth, like worked hard, like, you know. So I feel like those two guys, I was like very like impressed with when I met them. But I would say a majority, like everyone, all the players that I interacted with across all the teams, like I have like positive things to say.
For sure. I always think it's interesting to ask, mostly positive about like who's cool and actually cool that you might not have thought, or because we all don't get to meet Matt Ryan and Calvin Ridley, but someone I had on my podcast with the same JUCO as Bryce Harper, and Bryce Harper will like go back and visit, and I asked what he was like, and she did not hold back on air about Bryce Harper, but I don't think Bryce Harper will be listening to my podcast anytime soon. So last big question, what is the biggest kind of full circle or kind of payoff moment, like something that it took, you know, maybe X amount of time after to realize that it all played out how it should, or just the one that you're kind of just the most proud of looking back?
Okay. I feel like it kind of goes back to like the Bill Walsh Fellowship. I feel like there's like kind of three parts to it, so I'll try to like wrap it up quickly. But the first would be like, because I got that fellowship, they actually ended up doing like an ESPN article on like me and like the fellows. So like it was about all of us, but like I was kind of like the main part of the article. So like my photo was used. Like my dad sent me a screenshot one day, and it was like the article, and it's like me, and then it's like a story about Tom Brady underneath me. And he was like, "This is probably the coolest moment." So like that definitely like got me a decent amount of press, and I feel like allowed me to connect with a lot more people. So like that was a pretty cool like payoff moment. Like not so much about like the like popularity, but just like it opening the doors to connect with more people because of it. And then from there, getting the fellowship was like the big payoff moment, because I had been like working towards that for almost 2 years at that point. Like it was in the works since I was a junior. And then working for the Falcons. So their director, his name is Thomas Stallworth, Dr. Stallworth. He has his doctorate in sports psychology, which is like one of the main reasons I wanted to intern for him, because that's like, I'm doing my master's in sports psych, so that's like the same area of interest. And I feel like it's not as common to see strength and conditioning coaches have that background. But so getting that was like the payoff. And then he was the one who put me up for the Middle Tennessee State position. And he didn't even know me at that point. Like I hadn't even like worked for him. Like he just like, someone called him who worked at Middle Tennessee State, was like, "We're looking for a female strength coach." And he put my name up without even really knowing me besides an hour phone call. And so I got that position, and I remember the biggest struggle or like concern I had with taking this position was it was an Olympic only position when I first took it. So I worked with women's basketball, volleyball, and women's soccer. And this was my first like full-time position, which, so that's like a great first full-time position. I'd only done like a year of being a DA. So like it was a great opportunity. Yeah. Hard to turn down. I just remember having a conversation with him on my last day of the fellowship and just being like, you know, "I'm nervous. Like people say when you get out of football, it's hard to get back into football sometimes." And I just like, I've spent the last 4 or 5 years in football, like, is this the right choice? And he was like, "Tessa, like, you're extremely tenacious. Like, you are going to find a way to get back into football. Like, just go there, take the opportunity, and like, work hard, do what you do, and you'll see it come around." And so I was like, okay, like, I, you know, I trust it. So I took the position, and sure enough, you know, January of the first year comes around, and we're missing a couple football assistants. And I was like, you know, I can help out. I don't mind. I enjoy being around football. So I started volunteering with football. Summer comes around, we are looking for a new kind of second right-hand man for our director. We're looking for a new assistant director. And in my head, I was like, "Oh my God, like I want this position so bad." But I just didn't see a way where I could have my teams and still be like loyal to women's basketball, which is the reason that I came here, and work football. I was like, there's no way I could have three Olympic teams and be, you know, an assistant director for football. And so I just like kind of bit my tongue and just kept working, kept volunteering. I mean, I was there everything out of my own free will. And so what do you know? I'm sitting on the chair on the like steps to our weight room one day, and the head coach walks up to me and he was like, "Tess, have you ever like considered working in football?" And I was like, "It's funny that you asked."
Like, maybe.
I was like, "Maybe." And so I kind of told him my background. He didn't know my background. And so he was like, "How would you feel about like taking this position or like being like put up for this position?" And I was like, "Honestly, coach, like I've thought about it since the position opened up. I just didn't really see a way for it to happen with the slate of teams I have now and with having basketball. I mean, I feel like anyone who works in SNC knows the basketball football split. It's a demanding one for sure." And so we went and talked to my director. And me and my director sat down and talked about it. And so we ended up moving some things around. And so then I ended up with just women's basketball. They had me drop soccer and volleyball and then move into a full-time football position. I got promoted to assistant director. And I just feel like that was like the most full circle moment ever. Cause I was like, wow, like literally a year ago, I was so nervous about stepping outside of football. And a year later, I'm being brought back into football in a position I was hoping to be in 3 or 4 years from now. And now I'm at 24 and I am in this amazing position. So that was a pretty spectacular full circle moment for me.
Wild, wild. And what a good way to kind of wrap it all up, going through all your stories and experiences that have started literally when you were a kid all the way to now. So I couldn't wrap up that story or probably say it any better than you just did. But before Zoom kicks me off because I got demoted, I roll. I definitely want to roll out the red carpet, say thank you for your openness, for making the time. And you got to shamelessly plug, emphasis on shameless, all your socials. Where can people get more of Coach TK?
Yeah, so Instagram is just at Coach Tessa Grossman. My Twitter is at Tessa Kate with 3 E's. Kate is my middle name. So if you're ever looking for me, usually I use my middle name. So those are the two big social media platforms. As always, LinkedIn, more than welcome to add me on there. And anyone who wants to reach out and connect, I'm always willing to hop on the phone and connect with people in the field.
Fantastic. So awesome episode. I want to say thank you very much again and have a good one.
Thanks for having me on here. This was awesome.